We have our first two semi-finalists after a classic night of UEFA Champions League knockout stage football. Paris Saint-Germain and Barcelona are through to the last four, but only after both survived stirring comebacks from Aston Villa and Borussia Dortmund. We had nine goals and enough drama to talk for weeks. We'll sum it all up in the next 30 minutes and we'll look ahead to Wednesday's two quarter-final second legs. Yes, welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott. What a start to a huge week of Champions League football. Confirmed quarter-final second leg results on Tuesday. Aston Villa 3, Paris Saint-Germain 2, Paris through 5-4 on aggregate, and Borussia Dortmund 3, Barcelona 1, Barca through 5-3 on aggregate. European football expert Kevin Hatchard alongside me, as well as commentator Richard Kaufman. Kevin, breathless night. Breathless night.
Yes, well, the UEFA Champions League is all about. We've seen this year upon year. We have these incredible momentum shifts in ties. We have incredible teams, incredible players. Some really amazing football. The crowd, such a big part of it.
Yeah.
In Dortmund and in Birmingham. It's exactly why we love this competition.
Every season when it gets to this stage, you think, are we going to repeat the drama of previous years? And every year we come away and say, we did. Richard, we're going to go into it in more detail, but an astonishing second half at Villa Park. Ultimately, Paris through to their fifth semi-final, but Aston Villa leave the competition this season, at least, with their heads held very, very high.
Yeah, I think pride will be a word. I think there'll be frustration. I know Unai Emery looked very disappointed at the full-time whistle because his team was so close from doing the job. In other words, taking it to extra time, yeah, and maybe to penalties. But what a night. You know, if you weren't listening to UEFA Match Day Live or weren't watching it tonight, you think, well, Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain through to the semi-finals. Routine, anything but.
Very well put. Let's begin at Villa Park then. Paris had a 3-1 first leg lead, remember, heading into the second leg in Birmingham, and it was watched by Kevin and Richard.
Barcola away down the left-hand side. Dembélé's made a sprint into the centre. He tries to pick him out. It's spilled by the goalkeeper, and on the follow-up, Ashraf Hakimi just side flips it into the empty net. Paris now keeps his cool and just wins it back easy as you like. And now the counter is on. It's 4-2. Out to the right-hand side now to Dembélé. Dembélé plays it infield. Nuno Mendes scores again. And Aston Villa hearts are well and truly broken here. Aston Villa 0, Paris Saint-Germain 2, which means it's 5-1 now to the French team on aggregate. Tielemans, back heel to Rashford, cushion ball to McGinn. McGinn back to Tielemans, and they've got one back. Huge deflection, but Tielemans and Villa won't care. It's a long way back, but it's a start. Villa have a little lifeline. McGinn striding forward, long range shot. Oh, what a goal! That is some goal from John McGinn, and they've got another one back. Level on the night. He picked up the ball inside his own half. He ran, yard after yard, and then left-footed, swung his boot at it, top corner, and maybe the dream is still alive. First of the balls back, Cash, it comes back to Rashford. Rashford brings it under control. Beautiful skill from him. Goes inside, goes outside, pulls it back, chance, goal! They've got another, Ezri Konsa. It's on, it's truly on. Villa, 2-0 down of the night, are 3-2 up, and the gap is one.
Amazingly, that was the final goal of the night, 3 minutes shy of the hour mark. You heard the roar there in the background, one of those goals when a stadium completely takes off. But Paris Saint-Germain were able to see it through to reach the semi-finals as they chase, of course, their first European crown. Tail of the tape, Hakimi's goal on 11 minutes and Nuno Mendes' fantastic finish on 27 had Paris 2-0 up and therefore 5-1 up on aggregates, and you thought cruising. Tielemans got one back 11 minutes before half-time, and then those goals from McGinn on 55 and Konsa on 57 had Villa one goal away from forcing an improbable extra time. Richard, have you had a breath since the end of that game? Because, I mean, that second half was a pure joy to watch and listen to. It was a fantastic football match.
Yeah, it had everything you wanted. You know, the magnificence of this youthful, spirited as well, skillful Paris Saint-Germain team, and the pride of the team from the West Midlands in Birmingham and Aston Villa, in the way that, you know, that they're back in Europe's top table for the first time in so many years and have looked so much like they belong. Remember, they're amongst the eight that qualified into the knockout stages. They brushed away Bruges fairly simply, and tonight they've given a team that so far in 2025 have been imperious, Paris Saint-Germain, but they made them look not just like equals at times tonight. They looked like they might actually turn this tie on its head, and if it wasn't for Gianluigi Donnarumma and a couple of unbelievable world-class saves, then maybe they might have actually done it.
Yeah, after Konsa's winner on the night, they had four very good chances, Aston Villa. Yuri Tielemans' header clawed away sensationally by Donnarumma. Marco Asensio on loan from Paris, one-on-one, saved by the Italian. Esri Konsa, we thought, had a free header, and somehow it evaded him. And then with almost the last kick of the game, Ian Maatsen with a volley. We've seen a replay. It was heading in, defended on the line by Pacho, Kevin. There'll be, I think, as Richard said, wonderful pride. But when Villa look back, they will know that they had serious opportunities to maybe take it to extra time. And who knows what we might have been talking about then.
Yeah, I think for Konsa it'll be bittersweet, because he scored a very good goal that got them to within a goal of forcing extra time. And then he's so good in the air, he just misjudged the header. And, you know, most of the time he would put that header away. He wouldn't just get it on target, he'd probably score. But on the night, it didn't quite happen for him. But just the fact that Villa got it to within a goal against a team that's been absolutely imperious in 2025, you know, that is some effort. And I think Unai Emery talked a lot about making their own history. And this isn't just important for this season. This is actually about the club's future. This is actually about this group of players believing they can compete, believing that they belong at this level. They haven't qualified for next season yet, but they're on the charge. Yeah. They're in the FA Cup semi-finals. This could be a phenomenal season for Aston Villa under Unai Emery. And I take you back to last season and the UEFA Conference League, when Villa were heavily favoured to win it and they had a setback. And the way they've bounced back really has been very, very impressive. And they've learned and they've taken those lessons. They look really good in the league phase, as Richard said. They've taken on a world-class team tonight, and they have come very, very close to taking them to extra time.
You mentioned Esri Konsa. Let's hear from the Aston Villa centre-back now.
You know, we had nothing to lose. That's what we said in there. We wanted to go out there and you know, just prove a point. You know, the boys dug deep. We pressed well. I think you could see that. And we had chances, we did. And I think I scored the hardest one, but look, it is what it is, and it happens, part of football. But I think we showed tonight that we can compete at the highest level, and you know, we want to do it again next season.
They certainly did. Aston Villa's run comes to an end in the Champions League at the quarter-final stage, their first campaign back in this competition since 1983, which was a year after they won it, of course. And as Kevin mentioned, well in the mix to finish in one of the top five positions in England to be back in the league phase next season. Paris Saint-Germain, I mean, they showed different sides. Kevin, tonight, they showed their amazing counter-attacking football, and then they managed to dig in very successfully, actually, and somehow through brilliance and then through slowing the game down, that they were able to have time on the ball and in the end get through the last 5-10 minutes relatively comfortably.
Well, look, when you think about their season as a whole in the UEFA Champions League, they've had three trials by fire and they've come through all of them. The first was against Manchester City at the Parc des Princes because they were 2-0 down.
Yeah. And they possibly had to, heading out of the league phase.
Possibly heading out, and they had to turn that around, and they did it with the firepower that they've got. They did it by playing through City's press, and they did it through finding goals from all different areas. Barcola, that particular night, was absolutely exceptional. The second was at Anfield, when they got back level at 1-1, having lost the first leg, but they managed to find the equaliser, and Liverpool went at them and went at them and went at them in that second half. And they came through that, and in extra time they got stronger, could have actually gone through, eventually had to do it through penalties. And then in this game they've had to come through it. And I think Donnarumma showed his quality. I think once that midfield started to get on the ball, they were able to take time off the clock. Doué was brilliant when he came on. Really, really good, because he was just really smart about when he made his moves,
yeah,
when he shielded the ball. He just gave them that sticking point up front, that ability, that focal point to just keep it and just kind of pin Villa back. So very impressive for a young team, and they will grow stronger from this.
This is a club who have had, including when Unai Emery was in charge, of course, they've had some nearly moments in the competition. They've reached the final. There's been all of the chat about when are they finally going to do it. Did they prove a point again tonight, Richard, that in adversity, and it was, I think you used the word, a kind of tidal wave of Villa pressure, and you thought any team here, however good you are, might concede another, and then, you know, who knows, go out actually in normal time, but they found something, some qualities to see them through, and that is going to be crucial if they are to go all the way.
It is. One thing I would say, though, everyone's going to say, is this the year? You know, fourth time in the semi-final now in 6 years. You've mentioned they've been in the final as well. Is this the year? And I just wonder whether the last 55 minutes in this game just tempers the excitement a little bit from the Paris Saint-Germain fans, that okay, maybe, you know, if they'd have gone on, they were 2-0 up here tonight, they'd have scored another couple, they knocked out Liverpool, knocked out Villa, they got Arsenal coming up next, potentially, if they see off Real Madrid, given what we've seen tonight. I'm not saying that's a fait accompli at all, but
nothing's done in the Champions League until the whistle blows.
Absolutely not.
Exactly, but I'm just saying, does that temper a little bit of the exuberance?
And would Luis Enrique mind that, actually, in terms
you
need to see all of those qualities in a long Champions League run?
Yeah, and look, were they perfect? No. I think going forwards, I think there were some excellent things, especially on the counter-attack. I thought Villa managed to stop Kvaratskhelia largely. He couldn't get anything out of Matty Cash in that second half. Dembele had his moments, but not the way that he can play. But as a group, they've come through it. And sometimes in the knockout phases, it's about survival. It's about being under that enormous pressure in a crazy stadium, and you can't breathe, you can't get a second, and you just have to tough it out and survive. And they did.
We've seen Real Madrid do that time and time again, actually. One more on Paris quickly. I feel like we need to speak about Nuno Mendes. Goal in the first leg was brilliant. One in the second leg was equally brilliant on his left foot this time, but his defending as well. I mean, he's a gem of a player.
I think we mentioned it in commentary, actually. There's two bookends here, if you like. One of them is the first leg of the semi-final against Borussia Dortmund last season, where he could not deal with Jadon Sancho. He's still a very young man, let's not forget. And Sancho was going past him again and again and again. And he really had to pick himself up after that. And it's night and day between the defender he was then and the defender he is now. Luis Enrique deserves credit, but mainly the player does.
Yeah, but my man of the match tonight is Gianluigi Donnarumma, because he has ultimately he has won the match. The save from Rashford was unbelievably good, but the second one, the header from Tielemans, he's got back and somehow clawed it from underneath his crossbar. Not many goalkeepers can save that. That was he celebrated those saves as if they were match-winning goals, and he had every right to do so.
He certainly did. And at that time in the match, that would have been a third goal in very quick succession, and who knows what Aston Villa might have done. But it is Paris Saint-Germain who are through. They will play the winner of, as Richard mentioned, Real Madrid or Arsenal in the last four, who play on Wednesday night. Full match commentary coming up of that on UEFA.com and the Champions League app. We'll look ahead to that one shortly. Up next, though, we'll reflect on another dramatic night, this one in Germany.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Let's head to Dortmund now. Barcelona had a comfortable 4-0 lead from the first leg, remember? Jonathan Pearce, watch this one.
Adeyemi with early release. Chesney's come out. Risky challenge. Risky challenge. Penalty given. Guirassy, one goal in his last seven matches. This will do the whole of Dortmund the world of good. How good was that? Dortmund lead on the night. Still a lot of work to do. It's a decent cross to the far post. Headed back by Bentifani and in. Guirassy again. Miserable first leg, a miserable start to this, but he has his second, and they have half the deficit now. 2-0 to Dortmund on the night. Barcelona's lead is now just 4-2. Koundé has a fine pass. Fermín López early into the box, it's an own goal. Lewandowski's in there celebrating, but he went in off Rami Bentabani. And Borussia Dortmund, joyous moments ago, are crestfallen. Duram, he's done really well. That was clear. There is Boris. Guirassy has a hat-trick. Game on again, perhaps. Quarter of an hour to go. A third Dortmund goal. 3-1 on the night. Still Barca lead 5-3.
Yeah, they couldn't quite compete what would have been a famous comeback from 4-0 down. Of course, Barcelona themselves did that famously at La Remontada. Borussia Dortmund will take a lot from that. And in particular, Serhou Guirassy, a hat-trick at the moment. Kevin, he's this season's UEFA Champions League top scorer. You cover the Bundesliga weekly. Just how good has he been for Borussia Dortmund? And how good was he this evening?
Well, very good, to answer the last question, because what he is he's somebody who has incredible movement, has an incredible instinct about where to be in the box. Great example of that, actually, is his second goal, because it's a header back across goal from Bentabaini from a set piece, and it looks like a tap-in, right? It looks like a header from really close range. But the key to it is you've just got to be there. And there was an equaliser at the weekend against Bayern München where he doesn't score, but he sets it up by juggling the ball just a few metres away from the goal line. And that leads to a goal for a teammate. And there were four Bayern players around him, couldn't get anywhere near him. And the other thing to remember about him is he's a late developer. Because when he was a young man at Köln, didn't really happen for him. He was missing big chances. I've spoken to coaches at that time who worked with him. I think he hadn't quite clicked in terms of what did he need to do to be a top-class player. So he's matured, he's grown, and by his own admission, he's realised, OK, talent's not enough. I need to work. I need to kind of play through the pain barrier. I need to kind of really learn and work on the craft. And now what you have is a guy who, for Stuttgart last season and Dortmund this, has just scored buckets of goals. And not just in league football, in European football as well, and in the Champions League, he's been absolutely terrific. So he led the charge, but it can't just be about him. It needs the other players to back it up. I thought they were much better, actually, at the weekend against Bayern. It was a much improved performance. They've struggled with inconsistency all season. In some ways, it's bittersweet because Dortmund fans will look at it and think, ah, why can't they play like this all the time? Because they're so good when they're like this. Crowd did their bit, pushed them on. It's a terrific effort. And that now it's about using that as a platform because they've got to use that momentum and be part of this big dance next season as well.
Julian Brandt had the ball in the back of the net to make it 4-1. Correctly offside. That was the moment then they would have been a goal away from taking it to extra time, but ultimately that the own goal from Ben Sabaini, which got Barcelona on the score sheet on the night, was probably the one which really ended Dortmund's hopes. Barcelona, who have been in such incredible form, could finish with the treble. I mean, first leg played some incredible attacking football. I mean, they are some contender now, reaching the semi-finals. It's 10 years since they last lifted the trophy, which seems amazing that it's 10 years since that final in Berlin. But it's been a long wait, this group of players, Kevin. Such talent going to be on show in, 2 weeks when the semi-finals get underway.
There's a real vibe of it. Not quite the same in terms of personnel and things like that. But if you cast your mind back to when Bayern won the Champions League under Hansi Flick, and he led them to win pretty much everything there was to win in that relatively short spell as Bayern coach, actually, before he went on to the Germany coach later in his career, the Germany job. That momentum is there. But the one thing you'd say about that team is the same thing you'd say about this Barca team. Breathtaking when they go forward, but they give you a chance. They will let you play. Now, they'll say, we can outscore anyone. That's fine. But it's all baked into the way they play. There's no, let's go somewhere and dig in. There's no, oh, we've only got 10, 15 minutes here. They are what they are. And when they click, they're phenomenal when they go forward. But they will always, always give you a chance. And it's whether they're going to come up against a team that's going to be super clinical. That's the balance they've got to strike.
In that sense of how they attack, a bit like Paris Saint-Germain, and from a neutral point of view, it makes for incredibly entertaining football.
Oh, it's brilliant. That Paris team, for me, even though they don't have Neymar anymore, they don't have Messi anymore, they don't have Mbappe anymore, that is the most suitable team for winning a Champions League I think they've ever had. Genuinely, I think it's the most appropriate team for winning this tournament they have ever had.
Well, they're not too far away from doing so. Neither are Barcelona, having gone through. We can hear from one of Dortmund's players, of course, winners on the night. Here is Pascal Gross.
Yeah, we knew we didn't play well there. We played poor. We conceded too many goals, probably. But from when we watch it back, quite simple mistakes, quite stuff we can, we don't need to concede, and on that level you get punished, and we need to do that much better, much braver, help each other more, but also attack their high line, not always with the first wave, maybe with the second wave when they stop, and we did all that, but it was not enough today, but today was a good game.
So Barcelona will take on Inter or Bayern in the semi-finals. And a reminder that UEFA Champions League Match Day Live is back on air from 8:45 p.m. CEST on Wednesday. It's about 15 minutes ahead of our featured match, the small matter of Real Madrid against Arsenal, part 2.
Bellingham slips it, Mbappe with a lovely pass. Mbappe into the penalty area. Right-footed shot saved by David Raya, who pounces on the rebound. Bellingham's first real involvement, a wonderful slide rule pass. But Mbappe couldn't beat the goalkeeper and it stays 0-0. This is a long way out, but maybe Saka, maybe Rice fancy it. Declan Rice to strike it, right-footed! Oh my goodness! What a goal! Declan Rice has beaten Courtois. It flashed past the goalkeeper from miles out. Lewis Skelly, edge of the box. He's wriggled away from Camavinga. He's not been the defender. Martinelli shot turned away. Rebound off the line. Marino again. Tipped over by Courtois. What a save. Is it going to be Declan Rice right-footed again? It's even better. What a night for Declan Rice. What a night for Arsenal. Back to Mars Lewis Skelly on the edge of the area. Infield Marino! It's three! This is sensational! Awesome from Arsenal! Mikel Marino, the makeshift striker, has just struck one home!
Joe Shannon on commentary duty there, and even, what, a week on, I wonder whether some Arsenal fans are pinching themselves about that first leg. 3-0 up, Kevin. I mean, it was one of the best nights, one of the loudest nights, I think most people recognise that ever at Arsenal's current stadium since they left Highbury. How big a task do they have to see this one through? It's a huge lead, but it's Real Madrid and it's the Bernabeu.
To be honest with you, working on these games this evening has reinforced the idea in my head that it's absolutely possible.
Yeah.
Because at the Bernabeu, with that forward line that they have, if they grab an early goal, if they get the crowd behind them, the thing to remember is that this Arsenal group, even though there are some experienced players in it, as a unit, they don't have a lot of Champions League experience, they don't have a lot of experience at the absolute highest level together. Mikel Arteta is a brilliant coach, I do think, in many ways, but he doesn't have masses of experience at this level as the main guy. Don't know, obviously, with Pep Guardiola. But I just think it's fascinating because Real Madrid defensively, I think, have issues, but they are one of the best forward lines on the planet.
It's interesting you mentioned, Arteta said before the first leg, he was open, he said, yeah, this is my biggest night as a coach. Arsenal last beyond the quarterfinals in 2009. Last season was their first foray back into this competition, actually for a long period of time. And interesting from David Raya ahead of this one, their goalkeeper. Everything can happen in football, he said. I think we have to try to win the game. We don't have to just defend. So maybe, Richard, just a little kind of look into the Arsenal mindset that they know they can't just sit back despite being 3-0 up.
As someone who lives in North London, surrounded by Tottenham and Arsenal fans, not being one myself, the Arsenal fans are still floating. Many of them I've spoken to are going to Madrid as well and feeling, wow, what an opportunity. And as you mentioned, the noise at the Emirates, and I think the players fed off that energy and they produced the ultimate performance. It's going to be a completely different test for them at the Bernabeu, and just off the back of what Kevin said, I believe they might have a tough night ahead of them. I think it's all still to play for.
Let's hear from Real Madrid's Jude Bellingham then. He's been speaking to the press and he said the tie's not over.
It's a night that's made for Real Madrid, a night that would go down in history, but also be something that people are familiar with around this part of the world. So, hopefully we can add another special night.
Jude Bellingham there for Real Madrid. Full commentary on Wednesday of the second leg, Madrid against Arsenal, the defending champions 3-0 down. Of course, no Camavinga for Real Madrid, suspended. Tchouameni is back. Thomas Partey is fit for Arsenal. Meanwhile, the other quarterfinal second leg sees Inter take a 2-1 lead back to San Siro against Bayern. A great tie, this one. Earlier, I spoke with UEFA reporter Paolo Menicucci, who explained how important an evening this is for Simeone Inzaghi's team.
It's huge. The Inter won in Munich, but the tie is still wide open. One goal. Just watch the attacking line on Bayern Munich, and you understand that it's one goal margin is nothing. It's wide open, and everyone knows Inter as well. They stress it in a press conference ahead of the game that they were not celebrating as if it was done after the first leg. They know that they still have plenty of work to do.
Paolo, I wanted to ask you one about Simone Inzaghi, because this is a guy that had cup success with Lazio. He's won numerous trophies with Inter. They've got a good chance of winning Serie A again. He's already reached one Champions League final. How's he seen in Italy? Because it seems to me we're talking about one of the elite coaches in the sport.
Yeah, I must say that until a couple of years ago, probably was a bit underestimated. Like, no one was giving so much. No, he was giving credit, but not as much as he deserved. Now is not this. This is not the case anymore. Everyone considers one of the top coaches in Europe, not only for the trophy, but also for the style of the team. Everyone knows exactly what he has to do in the team. Doesn't matter who is playing, like even if the players that usually don't play really often come in and play like the first choices. He gave a style to the team. And they play good football too. Like, it's not only results, they play entertaining football, attacking-minded football. And despite this, they keep balance all the time. Just consider that they conceded only 3 goals this season in the Champions League so far in 8, 10, 11 games. It's well-oiled system. They play attacking football, but never forgetting about the balance and the defense. And I think now everyone recognizes his work.
Yeah, and top maths in there, by the way, Paolo, to quickly add up how many games they played with the new format this season. We now know, of course, that it's Barcelona in the semi-finals for the winner of this tie. Does that bring any extra motivation or thought, do you think, to both these teams tomorrow?
Yeah, I think that prospect to face Barcelona is extra motivation for sure. For Inter especially, this also brings some great memory back, like in the season 2010 when they won the treble, they faced Barcelona in a historical semi-final, playing with 10 men in Camp Nou, resisting in Camp Nou to reach the final against Bayern Munich. And this season, Barcelona probably played one the most exciting football in Europe, and the prospect to measure yourself against such a team is certainly an extra motivation.
And finally, Paolo, we have to get your prediction. What's the score going to be on Wednesday at San Siro, and who's going through to the final four?
That's a difficult one. I still think that this tie is really open, as I said before, but I'm confident that Inter can make the home advantage count, and we'll win tomorrow as well, 2-1.
Our reporter Paolo Menicucci heads off the second leg of Inter against Bayern. The Nerazzurri 2-1 up from the first match in Munich. Can they complete the job? We'll have the goals as they go in on the show on Wednesday. Full commentary, as we've mentioned, of Real Madrid against Arsenal. Back to Tuesday, a recap of the scores. What a night. So many stories. Villa 3, Paris 2, but Paris threw 5-4 on aggregate. And Dortmund 3, Barcelona 1, Barca threw 5-3 on aggregate. So the two teams who lost on the night ultimately celebrating because they are going through. Before we go, Kevin, Richard, tough one for you. Of the two teams through to the semi-finals on this Champions League Tuesday, who, in your view, has the better chance, shall we say, of going all the way and lifting the trophy in Munich in just over 40 days' time?
This is where I lose all my authority as a pundit, because I'm going to go bold.
That's why I asked you.
Because I think Paris, because I think Barcelona are going to get knocked out by Inter. And as we speak, Inter are not even through to the semis.
Well, I didn't even ask who you thought was going to happen on Wednesday.
Let's fill it in. I think Inter are going to win it. I think Inter can win it. I think they're the best balanced team. I think they've got a sensational coach, brilliant front two, defenders are outrageously good. Bastoni doesn't get talked about enough. I think he's one of the best centre-backs in the sport. I think Inter will... They'll get knocked out by Bayern now, you watch. But I think they can do it. I genuinely think it will be a Paris-Inter final and Inter will come out on top.
Well, I mean, you've literally completed the bracket there. Richard, back to the original question of tonight's two teams. Who's going furthest?
I mean, it's an impossible question, isn't it? Because I think they're two similar kind of teams, really, in the way that they play. They have both great potential, but I'll go Paris Saint-Germain again. I think I've just seen enough, and sometimes it's about the narrative as well, isn't it? And the story is this the time they've changed the kind of the outlook away from the superstars, away from the Galacticos, to a more cohesive but still thrilling team as well? And I think that just ticks all the boxes required to maybe go all the way.
Gents, thank you very much. A real Champions League treat on this Tuesday. That's all we have time for. And don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competitions. There's not that many left. We are getting to the real business end. We're back on Wednesday. Real Madrid's against Arsenal. The holders 3-0 down. What can they do as they try to mount a second leg comeback? And updates, as we've mentioned, from San Siro. Inter against Bayern. Bayern hoping to come back. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.